Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
It was a hot summer day. A lazy grasshopper laughed at a little ant as she was always busy gathering food. "Why are you working so hard?" said the grasshopper. "Come into the sunshine and sing with me." But the ant went on about her work. She said, "I'm gathering food for the winter. Sunny days are not going to last forever." "But winter is so far away yet," said the grasshopper. And when the winter came, the ant settled down in her snug little house. She had plenty of food to last the whole winter. The grasshopper had nothing to eat, so he went to the ant and begged her for a little corn. "No," replied the ant. "You laughed at me when I worked. You yourself sang through the whole summer, so you had better dance the winter away." Like all of Aesop's fables, there's a moral to the story. And for this one, it is, idleness is a curse. We're going to come back to that in a moment. I just want to take this opportunity to welcome everybody, especially those of you who may be here, and you're either a first-time guest, or maybe you've been with us for a while and you have not yet connected with us. We have a website that's called crosslands.live, and that will give you pretty much everything that you need to know to connect with us here at Crosslands Church. And one of the things that you can do is click on Get Connected, and there's a form there that you can fill out, and you'll be able to be in contact with us. We can provide you with the information that you're asking for, and it'll just help you to be able to become a part of our church. You'll also notice on that page, crosslands.live, that there's a section called Sunday Message. And there you'll find some questions that I've developed that will help you through the week based on the message that you're hearing today. So you can take it home with you and you can think about it a little more and you can kind of think about those questions and apply them to your own life. You'll also see on the screen that my number is up there. You can feel free to text me if you have any questions about the message. If there's time at the end, and I know I'm thinking we're going to run a little tight on time today, so if I don't get a chance to answer them in the service today, I'll post them to the Facebook page afterwards. A couple of weeks ago, or earlier in the summer, I had a friend who was visiting, and so she visited twice in a row, and I said to her, "Do you have any feedback for me? What did you think?" And she said, "Oh, it was great." She said, "One thing that I noticed, though, is that nobody talked about where to give. I was kind of wanting to give some money to support the church, and nobody told me how to do that. So I thought, yeah, you know what? Sometimes in the summer, with everything else going on through the service, we sometimes neglect to mention that. So I'm just going to mention today that we do have several methods to give, and right on crosslands.live, you can find a list of all those, whether it's to give at the giving boxes with cash or check, or at the debit or credit machine at the info center. We have online giving and text giving. And if you have any questions about any of that, the information center out there where it says welcome in the middle of the lobby, they'll be able to answer your questions about that. So everybody likes a clean workspace, right? Sometimes, though, if our workspace is too clean, it may mean that we're not busy enough. And I often say that the state of my desk is an indication of what's going on in my head and how busy I am. So this week as I was preparing, there were different papers all around me with different projects that I'm working on. So I'm hoping that means this is going to be a good message today. Over the summertime, we've been doing the Living Skillfully series, which is from Proverbs. And today the proverb we're going to be looking at is Proverbs 14 and 4. It says, "Without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest." Now, why in the world would I choose that verse of all the Proverbs that I could choose? As I was reading through the Proverbs, that one kind of stuck out to me because it was different. And I thought, I wonder if there's a message there. So I started looking at it a little more, and as I looked at it, it had kind of been lining up with some things that I had been feeling on my heart and what our pastoral staff had been talking about through the summer. And so I thought, yes, this is the one we're going to do today. The Message Bible, another translation, puts it this way: "No cattle, no crops. A good harvest requires a strong ox for the plow." Now, this verse is in the context of farming. So here's my disclaimer. All you farmers out there, I'm from a fishing community in Newfoundland, so I haven't had a lot of experience with farming. I know some of you have, so don't give me a hard time if I get something wrong. But you can feel free to tell me about it after. How's that? Is that a good deal? All right. So what's a strong ox? Well, it's a cow, and likely a male cow or a bull, and it weighs between 1,200 to 2,000 pounds, and it's been trained for at least 4 years to work in the fields and to pull heavy objects and to listen to the handlers. And for extra strength, they work alongside of another ox using a yoke. And as they're trained, the oxen are usually given a light yoke at the beginning. And then as they become stronger over the 4 years, their yoke increases in weight so that they're able to be strong and work together. And then at the end of the 4 years, they graduate, so I'm told, to being from a working steer to an ox. Our verse tells us that you need a strong ox for a large harvest. So apparently oxen are not swift-moving animals, but they're slow and steady, and they're hard workers. They're strong. And they get the job done. And if they pull in a large harvest, that means a lot of the revenue for the farmer. Cha-ching! And now that we've established what an ox is, we're going to look back at the first part of the verse. It says, without oxen, a stable stays clean. When you go to a cattle farm, you automatically assume that you're going to walk in and it's going to be a little smelly. There's going to be lots of straw around and probably some cattle waste over there somewhere. But imagine driving up to a farm and you enter the barn and the floor is almost spotless. There's no dirt or dust anywhere. The walls are freshly painted. What would you think in that situation? Oh, and it smells fresh. Imagine that. You would probably think in that situation that, okay, this farmer has just bought the farm and they haven't bought any cattle to fill the barns yet. But what about when you talk to the farmer and he says, oh no, cattle are, you know, they're too messy. It would take too much work to be able to clean them and care for them and to do all that stuff. So your first thought in that situation would be, and how's that working for you? You see, in order to make a profit, the farmer needs to purchase cattle, train them, care for them, and watch them and clean up for them and clean up after them in order to reap a harvest. So what do oxen and barns and harvest have to do with us today in 2019? Today, we often use machinery to harvest crops, unless it's a smaller farm and they haven't economically went into that method of farming. But if your barn is clean and there are no oxen, that means you probably couldn't be bothered to work. Some might even say you're lazy. Maybe you've become passive and you don't really want to do anything more than to know that you have a nice, shiny structure. So how does that apply to us as Christ followers? Do you come to church on Sunday and then incorporate what you read in the Bible? Maybe you hear things in church on Sunday and maybe throughout the week you're listening to what God is saying to you. Or are you a little like the farmer we just talked about who has a clean and empty barn? You don't like to get into messy situations, so you just go back to the other part of your life after that hour of church on Sunday morning is over with. But I thought my relationship with Jesus was based on faith and not on works. It is. But Jesus also didn't expect us to say, I want to follow you, and that's all there is. James chapter 2 and verse 17 tells us that faith by itself is not enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. There's so much more to your relationship with Jesus than just deciding that you're going to follow him. We are all called to learn from him. In fact, we can liken the training of oxen to being discipled. There's training involved, mentoring, discipling, and it can be on-the-job training as well. And it doesn't tell us that there's only 4 years of that. You know, as Christians, our training is ongoing, and as we become more and more, growing more and more closer to Jesus, that training just continues. Jesus commanded his disciples in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, to go and tell the world about him, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we don't know all of the people who were there that day. We know that the disciples were there who were listed in the Bible. But maybe there could have been somebody over here who had just heard about Jesus that day. And so that message was for them too. Whether they had been following Jesus for 3 years or more, or they had just known him that day. And so the message is for all of us to go. The message is, it requires action. And maybe you say, I don't know, I don't really feel ready to tell somebody about Jesus. I don't have the right words to say, or I might not articulate all those things accurately. Maybe you're driven by the fear of failure or rejection in telling other people about him. So unlike cattle, though, we don't have to go through a specified period of time before we're given that title of ox in that case, but in our case, the title of being qualified to do something for Jesus. In fact, what better way to learn than to research something because someone else has asked you a question? You know, sometimes people ask me questions about things in the Bible or some theological thing, and I'll tell you a secret. I'm not as smart as Fred is. And so I don't have the answer right off the top of my head. And so sometimes I have to say, you know what? I don't have an answer for you right now, but I'm committed to helping you find that answer. And so sometimes I think that all God asks is that we take action and that we do something, that we don't keep it to ourselves, that we're there and we're available to people and we're open to answering whatever questions that they have for us. Because we have somebody who's going to help us in these different situations. So don't feel that you have to have all the answers. All God is asking is that we would fill our barns with cattle, that we would embrace the mess, and that we would go out and do something for him. In the second part of our verse, it talks about bringing in a large harvest. And I think all of us would say that we want to see people around us come to know Jesus. And we would want people to know that experience that we have and to have the eternal life that he promises us if we come to him. So what are you going to do about it? Our verse tells us that in order to have a large harvest, we need strong oxen. And maybe you don't feel very strong. Maybe you're feeling kind of weak. And maybe you're feeling kind of, huh. And maybe you've lost some of your passion along the way. Maybe you're something like the old man in this story. "How's times?" inquired a tourist. "Oh, pretty tolerable," responded the old native who was sitting on a stump. "I had me some trees to cut down, but a cyclone came along and saved me the trouble." "Oh, I see. Yeah, and then the lightning set fire to that brush pile over there and lit it on fire, so I didn't have to do anything there either." "Remarkable. But what are you going to do now?" "Oh, nothing much. Just waiting here for the earthquake to come and shake the potatoes out of the ground." It's a little humorous, but don't be like that old man. Don't sit on a stump and wait for someone or something to come along to push you forward for the next thing. Allow God to ignite within you a passion that you didn't even know that was within you. A few weeks ago, Jessica Brickell, she was here and she did This Is My Story. And she talked about how she had been a Christian for most of her life, but somewhere along the way, she felt that she had lost some of that passion. And she didn't even realize it till she looked at her friend, who was a newer Christian, only about 5 years, and noticed that her friend had so much passion for Christ and just wanted to tell people, and everything in her life just spoke Jesus to other people. And so Jessica talked to her friend about this, and after talking to her friend, she realized, you know what, I've been saying that I need to do something about this, and this is something that I need to make a priority in my life. And she decided that she needed to make some changes, and that she needed to make her relationship with Jesus a priority. And she discovered that by disciplining herself to spend that time with God, it helped her to regain her passion for Christ, and in an even greater way than it was before. When she was asked what she would say to other people who are feeling as she did, she said, "Just do it." We can spend time thinking about doing something, and we can it's always in the back of our mind, and, you know, I should do this and I should do that. But when it comes down to it, we have to make it a priority, and that's on us. We have to make it a priority, and we have to decide for ourselves that this is what I'm going to do. You see, we're not like oxen. We don't need this lengthy training period to become strong, because our strength comes from God. When we look to Him and we ask Him to be with us each and every day, when we give each day to Him, He gives us the strength for each situation in life. And as we spend more and more time with Him, we realize that we love Him more and more. And rather than trying to do these things in our own strength, we have the Holy Spirit who comes, and He fills us with more strength and more boldness than we ever knew was imaginable. And it's only in His strength that we can bring in a harvest. It's only in His strength that we can see lives changed. Around here for a few years, we've been talking about the phrase reaching the other 80,000. And I want to tell you guys, this call is not just for us four pastors. This call is for all of us. Jesus calls all of us to action. He calls all of us to get on our messy work boots and pull up our sleeves and get in there in the barn and do something for God. And it's through the power of and boldness of the power of the Holy Spirit that will give us boldness to help us to reach out so that other people will know Him too. So practically, what does this look like? Well, I think it means living each day in a life in a Christ-honoring way. I was talking with somebody this week, and they were talking about how, you know, they would go to work and they would listen to the work gossip, and the next thing you know, they're getting involved in gossip, and then somebody comes along and accuses them of something, and they're retaliating right back at them without even thinking. And then all of a sudden, they started praying, and as before they went to work, and then suddenly they noticed, I'm not lashing out at people the way I used to. I have no desire to participate in the office gossip like I used to before. So it's just those little steps of saying, Jesus, I ask that You would be with me today. I ask that You would be around about me as I go about my work, that You would strengthen me and that You would give me wisdom. And just doing that each morning as you wake, before you go to work or wherever you find yourself during the day. Maybe you need that as a parent, as you're going to be taking care of your kids all day, because I'm sure that they'll try and test you for sure. And you notice those little subtle things. And so suddenly you go to the mall or you go to work or you go to school or wherever it is that you find yourself, and suddenly there's something different. And the difference is that Jesus is living in you. And all of a sudden people notice something's different in this place. That person is being really nice, and that person is taking a moment to think about how they're saying something that's not harmful but helpful to people. And so it's these little things that we do sometimes that makes all the difference in the world around us. It's living with gratefulness and loving people and living generously, as Wade talked to us about last week. Maybe it's serving. Maybe there's something in the community that you feel that you want to be involved in. And maybe it's serving here in our church, our kids' ministry. They need volunteers. Maybe once or twice a month you could help out there. Or maybe you want to gather a few people together and have a small group this fall. Erica talked about that, how it was her small group that helped her to really feel like family and people that she knew that she could call on and trust when things were going wrong in her life. Maybe it's serving meals at our community dinner. Or maybe last week you were here when Linda Veldhuizen spoke, and you were the person that she talked to when she said that we need some professionals to come to the Philippines and help us. And you know what? Whatever it is that God's speaking to you about, don't ignore it. Don't let that slide. Don't let that pass by. I would encourage you, take that time, even today, to just speak to God about that and to hash that out with Him. God, what does this mean for me? And you know what? Sometimes that's scary. Sometimes you're opening yourself up to whatever God wants, and it's, wow, like, God, I don't know what You want to do here. And that's scary. I've been there. But God is there with us, and He promises to give us the strength, and He promises to be with us no matter what it is that He's asking us to do. The call for all of us is to put on our work boots, to pull up our sleeves, to embrace the mess, and to get out there and do something for him. So that's what we're going to do today. Yeah? Is that what you're going to do? All right. There's one person over there who's with me. So why don't we all stand today? I think I have a couple of text messages, but I also think we're running out of time here this morning, so I'm going to answer those on the Facebook page afterwards. Maybe you've been here and you're listening to me and you haven't yet made that decision to follow Jesus. You've maybe have heard the message of Jesus many times, but today you're here and it's like, yeah, I understand what you're saying. And I admit that there's things that I've done wrong in my life. And today I'm ready to, I want to take on that life that Jesus is offering, that it's a better way of life. And so you believe that Jesus has died to save you and that he wants to make a difference in your life. And today you want to commit to him and you want to say, Jesus, I want to live that better way of life that you're offering. I want you to come and I want you to make a change in my life. And so today as we're praying, I would invite you to pray along with me that God would just work in your life. Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you that you did make a better way for us. And thank you, Jesus, that you have you died and you rose again. And Jesus, you created a way of life that we can't deny. And Jesus, I thank you for all that you've done in our lives. Jesus, I pray that you would be with those today who want to make that first step towards you. I pray that you would give them courage, that you would strengthen them, and that you would help them. God, for all of us today, I pray that you would ignite within us a desire to do something for you. That God, we wouldn't keep it to ourselves and we wouldn't brush it off. But Jesus, I pray that you would just ignite that within us, Lord, that it would be such a priority in our lives that each and every day, Lord, we would take that time and we would speak to you and we would allow you to speak to us, that we would listen to what it is that you're saying to us. And that God, we would be able to go forth in power and in strength with wisdom and with understanding, Jesus, of exactly what it is that you want us to do. So God, as we head into this fall, Lord, I pray for each person in this room. I pray that you would speak. And God, none of us are excluded from this today. God, if we are a follower of you, then God, you're asking us to do something for you. And so God, right now, I pray that you would speak and that you would minister in each life here today. Help us to get into the mess. Help us to get working for you. Jesus, we love you and we praise you. I ask for your protection and your strength on each one of us today as we go. In your name, amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.